Welcome to More Civil Societies with Eva Cox.
Welfare reform is on the agenda of the government again. It comes up, but nothing much has happened for a long time, apart from the fact we've had lots of tightening of resources and lots of rhetoric about what we're going to do to make the system work better. So I thought this week and probably next week, unless something dramatic turns up, I might deal with some of the sort of really basic issues around welfare reform. Because I think one of the issues is that people in the community don't understand what it does to people. So when somebody stands up and makes rude comments about welfare's costing us too much, we have to stop it, etc., etc., they don't realise that it's actually A, very inefficient, and B, very nasty. So I wanted to look at one of the issues around welfare, which is not dealt with very much, and particularly in the Australian context, and that's the idea of means tests. Now, what a means-tested payment is, it's the opposite of a universal payment. It says you will get this payment if you fall under a certain category, e.g. you're unemployed, looking for work, etc., 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 or sick, and you have very limited financial resources. We'll give you the payment, but we'll give it to you on condition that you actually lose it if you start earning any extra money. Now, the extra money that you earn, there's usually a cut-off point, but it's not very high. It might be $50, $60 or something for somebody on unemployment benefits. And once you get to that level, you can get cut, I think it's 50 cents in the dollar for any extra money you earn once you get to the cut-off point. Some of you might have heard the recent debates about, good heavens, you know, our top tax rate might go to 49 cents in the dollar. This is going to discourage the rich from making more money because they will be taxed to about half of what they earn. This ignores the fact that large numbers of people on welfare are already taxed at half of what they earn once they earn over a certain level. And what's more, when you add in the fact that they withdraw other payments, such as your housing subsidy or whatever it happens to be, sometimes what you start losing when you earn additional money and you're on a welfare payment can rise up to more than 100% of what you've actually earned. In other words, you get nothing back. But whatever it is, it's a serious discouragement because if 49 cents in the dollar dissuades the rich from earning extra money, you can imagine if you're poor and you are out there and you get a job and they offer you $100 a week and you're only going to really collect an extra 50 and you've got to take off the costs of going to work and getting yourself clean clothes and catching the bus and various other things, it tends to be a disincentive. And you've got to give the information to Centrelink. And we all know what happens when the information gets scrambled and it's not quite right. Then you end up with a robo-debt. So there's a lot of very scary things getting to that point where you are means tested. So from the point of view of the person receiving the income, there is a sense that it's better not to earn money until you get to the point where maybe you can earn a full wage and you can get away from Centrelink entirely because adding a certain amount of money each week is difficult. You've got to keep reporting it in. It doesn't give you very much extra money. You lose most of it and it's bureaucratic and filling things in and makes you feel pretty bad, particularly if you're in a casual job where you might get different hours in different weeks and you've got to keep reporting it. So that's from the point of view of the person that's on the means test. And it is a serious discouragement. I've talked to people. I looked at the figures. I think if you look at people, for instance, on Newstart, there's something like 15 or 18% of them are earning extra income because it's just so difficult to sort of deal with. So a lot of people end up earning a bit of black income. Somebody offers you $50 to clean out the garage. You take the $50 cash. You don't declare it, obviously. And when you're very poor and on very low income, these things become very important. But one of the problems with means tests, which doesn't get discussed, is what does it do to the rest of the population? Jessica Irvin just had an article where she sort of said, boasted that Australia had one of the most tightly means-tested systems in the world. And what it means, if you look at the actual bare economic figures, is we've got one of the cheapest welfare systems in terms of the fact that we don't put much money into it because it's so means-tested, particularly on the working age payments. We've got some fairly generous means tests around things like the age pension. And then we actually have a system that denies payments to people who go a bit above the means test. So it also encourages people to lie about their income so that they can get it. And you get that very much with the age pension, where people go to endless trouble to find an accountant that allows them to draw some age pension because they think they're entitled to it. Even if they end up getting less money per week, there's a sense of entitlement around that. At the lower levels, as I say, people get really uncomfortable about the fact that they're on these payments. And what's interesting then is that other people resent the fact that they get a payment at all. If you are not eligible for a payment because you earn just a bit too much, because you're above the limit for getting some sort of support, whether it's a child payment or whether it's an income support payment, you're likely to resent the fact that somebody down the road who's not doing anything is getting money that you don't get because you're in the workforce and they're not, and why the hell they should get money. So it creates a sense of resentment and stigmatisation for the people that are on welfare. In the Scandinavian countries, if you are over a certain age, you get the age pension. It's universal. If you have a disability, you get a disability payment. It's universal. If you have children, you get children's payments. They're universal. They used to be here. Child endowment was paid to everybody, not done on an income test. The advantage of that is that everybody in the country feels that they've got some interest in what happens in the welfare system. They don't think it's my money going to them. They think that's my money and some of it's coming back to me. So you have a situation where people are prepared to be taxed more highly and also more generous to people when they are in need of government assistance. What we have in a tightly means-tested system, therefore, is something which depresses the people on means tests, on payments, discourages them from looking for additional work in many cases unless they can get something really good that's going to take them right out of the system, creates resentment from low-income people who are not entitled to any form of support, and creates a general nasty feeling amongst people about the fact that they're paying taxes for people who are doing nothing and sitting on their bums even if they happen to be sick or whatever it happens to be. So I think that we should have a really good long look at means tests. Yes, it reduces our liability for tax overall, which means rich people pay less tax than they do in most other countries, but it also creates a mean and nasty welfare system, stigmatisation on the recipients, and really doesn't help people find work or live well or be part of a good community. That's why I'm pushing for universal basic income.
Eva Cox is a well-known sociologist and public feminist commentator with a long involvement in advocacy for more civil societies.